Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program. A very nice, cool fall evening here in Memphis, Tennessee, Saturday, September 24th, and I'm coming to you live for the first time in a month. Well, I've been live with you each and every week for the past month, but just from different locations, Washington, D.C., Knoxville, Tennessee, and elsewhere. Tonight, I am back home for the first time since the last week of August, sitting in our radio studio, AM 1380 WLRM in downtown Memphis, Tennessee. I want to thank my good friend and colleague Keith Alexander for his contributions to the show. During our first hour, what a great job he did tonight. What a great job he always does here, serving as my co-host. As I said at some point during the first hour tonight, we are not going to have any guests tonight. We have been overloaded. Well, not overloaded, but we've had a lot of guests over the course of the last few weeks there in Washington, where I spoke at the National Press Club and at the Ronald Reagan Building that night. Week before last, we had live on the air with me Richard Spencer, Sam Dixon, and Jared Taylor. Last week, of course, a couple of great speakers and guests from the Practical Politics and Leadership Seminar in Knoxville, Tennessee. And we haven't had, with all of this going on, just haven't had the time to cover a lot of news stories, which have been piling up each and every day at thepoliticalcesspool.org. As you know, that should be certainly a bookmark on your favorite places. We have at least one, if not two or three, brand new news items posted to our website each and every day to tide you over in between Saturday to Saturday when we're here with you live to sort it all out. So, again, I invite you to go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. You know, I was speaking a little bit. This is actually something we put up. And one thing we've been trying to do more over the course of the last year, I guess, is add more video and more graphics and images to complement the articles that we post at our official internet headquarters. And we've done that, and then it's elicited a good response from you, our fans. And we put up a couple of videos this week entitled, under a post, What the Left Looks Like. What the Left Looks Like. Those who oppose us and our ideas, what do they look like? Well, we've got the proof for you, and one of the examples that we provide you is video from a lecture that my good friend Richard Spencer gave earlier this year at Providence College, and you see it being interrupted by a bunch of loudmouthed and unshaven, sloppily dressed thugs, and they come in with the bullhorn and, you know, making noise and just being obnoxious. You get a good look at them there. Then you get an even a better look at them from video that was taken of a protest outside of our conference in Washington, D.C. And you got to get a load of the people who oppose these ideas that we're here to foster. You know, the ideas that are truly, you know, what we stand for is truly what's right for all Americans. You know, these wholesome paleoconservative ideals. Who would oppose it? Well, you see for yourself. See for yourself. You've got to see this protest outside of the National Policy Institute conference. Well, I say it's a protest. It's like three guys, and they are really the embodiment of the left. You've just got to see it. They look, and I hate to use this word repetitively, but so sloppy, so tacky, so trashy, and it's nothing but foul-mouthed obscenities, curse words over and over and over, because, you know, it'd be too much of an effort for them to string together a coherent sentence, much less a paragraph. And it's just them cussing to each other, and then, you know, security escorts them off. Folks, what the left looks like. You got, if for no other reason you go to our website tonight, that's a video you got to see. And we encourage you to check it out at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Lots of other stuff going on, and I tell you, folks, buckle up. I say this, buckle up. We've got a lot to talk to you about. I got a very interesting email earlier this week, and I don't know if I really have time to get into all of it before our next commercial break sneaks up on me, but I'm going to get started, and if I have to carry it over through the break, I will, but it's an interesting email. Apparently, Harvard University, is conducting a research project, and they need the participation of young white nationalists, quote-unquote. And this is how the email read. To whom it may concern, I am a sociology student at Harvard University conducting research for my senior thesis on young people who are active in the American white nationalist movement. I am most interested in understanding what motivates young people to participate in these movements, as well as how their participation influences their process of growing up. Because I want to give the young people involved in the movement the chance to tell their own stories and to put their perspectives out there, I am conducting interviews with young people ages 18 to 30 who identify as white nationalists. All answers, as well as the name of the group to which they belong, would be kept secret during my thesis. The interview would take 45 minutes to an hour. I'm located in Boston, Massachusetts, but would be more than happy to set something up via phone or Skype. I am attaching an information sheet about my project, which further describes the ways I will protect the participants and their data. If you have any other questions, I am more than happy to speak with you at any time. Thank you for your kind attention. Regards, Carrie Hartman. And she provides her email address and phone number, which I did not post to the website, but I did put her email address up there. If you're interested, you can go to my website and contact this young lady. I debated whether or not to mention it tonight on the radio show. I debated whether or not to post it onto my website, but after talking with Jared Taylor, of course we work closely together, I passed along her email to Jared. And I said, you know, what do you think? Should we post it? Is it just going to be the hit piece that you would expect? Do you think that there's any chance whatsoever that she would be objective while writing this thesis? And Jared said, look, you know, I have the universal opinion that we should always speak openly and freely about what we believe. And, you know, that was honestly the way I was leaning in the beginning. I mean, you know, we should never hide our candles under a bushel. I mean, if I had taken that approach, I would never be here today. I wouldn't be hosting a nationally syndicated radio program that has thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of listeners. I would have never made it to CNN. I would have never been covered by Newsweek and 100 other magazines and newspapers. I think you have to go out there and tell the truth in love. Whether or not the interviewer is going to be hostile to your ideas is irrelevant. So Jared Taylor first posted this email that I received as an informational piece at his American Renaissance website, and a very interesting discussion was created there, which includes more information about the student who is conducting the research. And I highly encourage you to check it out before making your decision as to whether or not to participate. You can go to amren.com and check it out, or just go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, and I provide a link to you over to the discussion thread at American Renaissance. I'm going to refrain from stating whether or not I believe it's a good idea to participate in such a project, because I truly believe there are potential pros and cons involved with taking Ms. Hartman up on her offer. But I simply wanted to make this information available so that you could draw your own conclusion. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about it when I come back, a little more follow-up on this research project at Harvard when the political cesspool returns.
When the truth is found to be... Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. I guess for better or for worse, this radio program, and it's certainly for the better as far as I'm concerned, is known as the hub of this movement, whatever you want to call it. I like to call it the paleoconservative movement. I think that's what we are. I think that, and Richard Spencer, you know, he always tells me, oh, you know, you don't need to refer to yourself as a paleoconservative. It sounds old, and old is passe, and no one wants to be, you know, linked with, you know, necessarily the past. You can have the same ideas and just make it more futuristic sounding, or more, and I hate to use this word, more progressive, like alternative right. And he considers himself to be an alternative rightist. Well, a paleoconservative is the same as someone who is a member of the alternative right. I mean, they're one and the same. It's just a matter on of what you prefer to label yourself as. I mean, you certainly just can't call yourself a conservative, because then you get lumped in with George Bush and Paul Wolfowitz and all of these neocon hacks that are really just as liberal as you know, the people in the Democratic Party. So you can't say a conservative really anymore. But I don't know. Everything that we say on this radio program would have been very much middle of the road mainstream political commentary back in the 1950s and 60s. So that's why I say paleoconservative. You know, now that which we say is sometimes considered to be taboo. But, you know, really, this is just common sense. Maybe that's what we are. We're the common sense movement. I mean, you know, yes, we tackle issues that have a racial animus, and we talk frankly and candidly about these issues. But again, I am not saying anything, and I've never said anything in the 7 years this show has been on the air that wouldn't have just been common knowledge. And oh yeah, of course people, you would think that way. Doesn't everyone? Well, that's, you know, that's the way people would have, you know, reacted to my message in the 1950s and 60s. Now, of course, America's fallen a long way since then. But anyway, why am I talking about this? What does it have to do with the previous topic? Well, I said all of that to say this. The student at Harvard who is writing this thesis that needs, you know, young white nationalists. I mean, she refers to our people who would listen to this radio program, for instance, as white nationalists. And I generally, and I know that there's some people out there that would disagree with me, I generally don't accept or embrace that term to describe myself, even though it may be accurate. Well, James, are you white? Well, yeah. Are you a nationalist? Yeah. Well, are you a white nationalist? Well, when it's used as a compound word, it's I think carries somewhat of a negative stigma, negatively, or could potentially negatively stigmatize our message to people who we need to reach. And of course, a lot of that is just because we've allowed our enemies to control the discourse for far too long. But nevertheless, it's not an accurate, and I certainly, you know, if people refer to me as that, you know, I don't consider it an insult at all, but it's just not the way I would describe myself. And anyway, but this young lady, this woman, Carrie Hartman, needs white nationalists to participate, or paleoconservatives, or alternative rightists. She needs them to participate in this research project going on at Harvard. Will she be hostile? Probably. I mean, how many people really can be objective? Not many. Not many. Particularly when they already hold concrete political beliefs. And that's another reason you need to go to the American Renaissance website and check out some of the conversation that has been started by me passing this article on to Jared, and he taking the lead and posting it first. I was busy last night. I posted it later. Jared actually scooped my own story, I guess. But that's fine, because I asked him to put it up as well, and he thought it would be a good idea. But you read some of the discussion that's going on there, and there's been, I guess, some internet research on Carrie Hartman at Harvard. And she's certainly a I am a woman, hear me roar type of feminist, certainly leftist. I mean, she goes to Harvard, need I say more? But if you look at some of the clubs and some of the things she's written, I mean, she's certainly not on our side. Now, again, can she be objective? And does it matter if she can be objective or not? I leave that to you to decide. It's just that, I don't know, I receive an obscene amount of emails each week. Never before have I received an email like that, you know, from a Harvard student conducting a thesis, writing a thesis on, you know, quote unquote, white nationalism, and asking for my help to put her in touch with 18 to 30 year olds who identify as such. And again, you know, for brevity's sake, we won't get into debating exactly what word is the best to describe our political movement. Like I said, I say paleoconservative because it's, you know, an old school type of conservative, and I'm an old school type of guy, despite being only 31. You know, our ancestors had it a lot more right than the current generation did, that's for sure. But nevertheless, enough about this. We've talked about it for 20 minutes. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. It's near the top of the blog roll if you want to read more about this Harvard research project. You make up your own mind as to whether or not you want to get in touch with this lady. In the meantime, who's Obama consulting with? I don't know if this is going to happen. Some websites are reporting that it very well might. Is Barack Obama considering meeting with Lady Gaga to discuss hate crimes legislation? Now, being a bunch of paleo conservatives here, I don't know how many of you know who Lady Gaga is, but I'm 31, so I do. And, you know, she's a pop singer. Let's just say she's a pop singer. Very, very avant-garde in the worst possible way. Total, you know, her life's mission is for acceptance of the, you know, perverted slash homosexual agenda. Well, she wants bullying to be a hate crime now. Bullying, you know, everyone has been bullied and been a bully at one time or another. It's just part of growing up. It's part of life's growing pains that we all, unfortunately, experience and, you know, inevitably at some point or another, inflict upon others. And this is certainly not a good thing, but, you know, bullying to be made a hate crime. Well, Lady Gaga has announced that she is to meet with Barack Obama to discuss new legislation to counteract bullying following the recent suicide of a 14-year-old, Jamie Rotemeyer, a victim of bullies. The singer called on American lawmakers to make bullying illegal. Bullying, she tweeted, is a hate crime. And again, okay, so apparently this kid got bullied and I guess he committed suicide as a result, which is certainly not a good thing. Bullying is obviously a bad thing, and it, my heart goes out to its victims. But the answer is better parenting and more discipline at home, not more oppressive draconian laws from the federal government. There are already sufficient laws on the books to punish any given crime. Now, it'd be easy just to laugh the story away. Not the fact that a kid died from bullying or apparently was so distraught over the bullying that he endured that he took his own life, but the fact that Obama is considering meeting with someone like Lady Gaga to discuss hate crimes legislation, to discuss any types of legislation. I mean, that really goes to show how ridiculous the American government is in this day and age. But, you know, the odds of Obama and Lady Gaga having a summit to you know, hammer this issue out is really no more ridiculous than the existing hate crimes laws themselves, which are usually only enforced when whites are the guilty party. As I said, and I'll say it again, there are already sufficient laws on the books. If you're menacing someone, if you're, you know, beating someone up, if you're harassing someone, you know, whatever, you name it, you think of it, there's a law on the book to deal with that. We don't need more hate crimes laws where people are beginning to punish folks for the way they think and adding more punishment to a sentence just because they think that there might be. No one can judge what's in a person's heart or if they have hatred there. And again, you know, hate crimes laws are selectively enforced almost invariably when whites are the perpetrators, but never when they are the victims of such attacks and such heinous actions. Got to take a break, everybody. A lot more forthcoming. Stay tuned.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. Big girls
don't cry. Big girls. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program. Don't know if you took a trip to Mars this week or not, but if you didn't, you probably have heard, and some, you know, via some sort of celebration on a national news show, that the "don't ask, don't tell" policy has been repealed. All political correctness aside, this is like a bad joke, isn't it? I mean, homosexuals should absolutely not be able to serve in the military, period. They should not be able to serve in the military. This shouldn't even be a remotely controversial statement. Same goes for women. You know, look, women have many natural gifts that men don't have. My wife and daughter, for instance, I love them more than I could ever possibly articulate. I would die for them. My wife and my daughter, when she grows up, will be able to do things that I can't do. A man, for instance, could never properly fill the vitally important maternal role that women at least used to play. But dressing up and pretending to be a soldier isn't what God had in mind for the fair sex. How intimidating do you think it would be to see a platoon of homosexuals and women, and homosexual women no less, charging a bunker? Do you really think that we could have taken the beach at Normandy, for instance, with an army like that? That's a serious question that our policymakers need to ask themselves. The answer, of course, is no. But in the end, none of this is about equal rights for the new protected minority, which is the sodomites, just like it was never really about civil rights for the blacks. It's all about bringing an end to the American experiment as envisioned by the founding stock. And this is just another blow to our tradition and culture. They want us to fall. And this is just another wedge. The story out of Washington, of course. After years of debate and months of final preparations, the military can no longer prevent gays, they call them gays, from openly serving in its ranks. The repeal of the 1993 law that allowed gays to serve only so long as they kept their sexual orientation private took effect Tuesday at 12:01 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Now, a few of the so-called conservative lawmakers in Washington opposed this, but most of them didn't. It passed by a very wide margin. It was a bipartisan deal that pushed this through. And of course, you know, keep in mind that Don't Ask, Don't Tell was a concession in and of itself. Back before 1993, I mean, this was a Bill Clinton initiative, so that should tell you that Don't Ask, Don't Tell in and of itself wasn't a good measure for our people. But you know, this is what modern day conservatism is. Today's conservatives, you know, they always let the left, the Marxists, move the line in the sand that much further down the road. Originally, conservatives didn't even want Don't Ask, Don't Tell to be implemented, because they then, like I do now, believed that homosexuality should have been drummed out of the military whenever it was made clear that it existed. And that's what you had before Don't Ask, Don't Tell. If you were a homosexual and you got outed, or your sexual perversions became well known, you were instantly pushed out. Now, Don't Ask, Don't Tell came in because, you know, you wouldn't be able just to drum out a sodomite on sight. They were going to be allowed in just as long as they didn't talk about it and you didn't ask them about it. See, that's how they got their camel's nose in the tent, as Keith used to say. So back in 1993, the conservative position, quote unquote conservative position, was no, we want them drummed out. But then they caved, and then, you know, Don't Ask, Don't Tell got put in. Today's conservative position on this, quote-unquote conservative position on this, is no. You know, we don't want them to be, you know, we like Don't Ask, Don't Tell. You know, originally, Don't Ask, Don't Tell was a watered-down concession. Today, it represented the hard-line conservative position. You see what I'm saying? They always are, you know, they always let the liberals move the line, and then they fight on that line. Now, a true conservative would have held the line from pre-1993. A paleo conservative would have held the pre-1993 line and said, no, you know, we don't even like Don't Ask, Don't Tell. That's a weak policy. Drum them out. Drum them out. But you didn't get that. What you got today was, no, Don't Ask, Don't Tell. You know, yeah, that's what we need to preserve. They always let the line get pushed a little bit further, and then they fight from the new front. They never, you know, you never see them taking any turns back to, you know, a healthy measure. You got to go, again, we were talking about videos, how we complement our articles with video footage, if and when it's made available, news footage. You got to check this out. There's a big celebration. We have an Associated Press video report of a celebration at some, you know, a homosexual bar. You know, they're celebrating, they're counting down to 12:01 a.m. on Tuesday. And then they're celebrating that don't ask, the evil don't ask, don't tell Bill Clinton policy is over. And the Associated Press picks out two people to, you know, offer the commentary about why they're excited about how this policy is repealed. And, you know, you got to check out the people who are the standard bearers for this kind of stuff. It's like I was telling you before about, you know, go check out the video about what the left looks like. You know, see the people who are opposing us, the same people that are for stuff like this. It's you know, biracial, I guess it's a transvestite, and I'm not trying to be funny. You know, go to my website and leave a comment and tell me what you think it is. And I'm not trying to be insensitive here, but I can't tell really if this is a man or a woman. I can't tell. And that in and of itself is very sad. But of course, he or she is, you know, in the army, by God, you know, in the armed forces. This is what the American military looks like now, or what it's beginning to look more and more like. Very, very sad. Very sad indeed. And of course, I'm a racist. I guess I'm a racist for opposing homosexuality. I mean, you can be a racist for anything these days. You're a racist if you write an anti-white book. Just ask the woman who wrote The Help. We were talking about that during the first hour. You know, I don't go for this stuff. It's sick. It's perverted. It's morally wrong. I think there's something wrong with these people. I don't think they were born that way. I think there might be some biological abnormalities that may exist. Perhaps the part of the brain that controls a person's sexuality, perhaps it was underdeveloped in some rare cases. In most cases, though, I say this is a choice. It's a learned behavior. It's a learned lifestyle. That's what I say. And of course, I'm an evil man. You know, old James Edwards, the evil, wicked James Edwards. You know, for believing, you know, what the Bible says about this. Leviticus 18:22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. And it is an abomination, folks. How, you know, and again, this goes back. Can you imagine how people would have reacted in the 1950s? And I go back to the 1950s, and certainly it would have been before then as well. But, you know, as late as the 1950s, 60s, and even on some of these homosexual issues, even the 70s and 80s, you know, it wasn't as widespread and as prevalent as today. But let's just say the 50s and 60s. Most people listening to this show tonight were alive during the 50s and 60s. I know I have a slightly older audience. We have a lot of young people, too, who tune in, you know, God knows. But, you know, my father, for instance, was born in 1954. You know, he was alive within the lifetime of most people still living in America today. If you have told someone that, you know, homosexuality would be something that would be celebrated in the year 2011, they would have laughed in your face as recently as 1950. That is not long ago at all. That is very recent history. 1950, very recent history. And they would have laughed in your face about that. That's, again, why I say paleoconservative. What I'm saying tonight, you know, if I was invited onto CNN, you know, the liberal hosts and crew there at the studio, their jaws would drop to hear somebody react this way to the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Now, granted, most people in America still believe like this, but, you know, they're not going to say it out loud because they don't want to be ostracized. 1950, you know, stuff like this would have gotten laughed out of the... No way in 2011. They're going to celebrate that kind of stuff? It's going to be a good thing? It's equal to or greater than being a heterosexual? You know.
Don't go away. Yeah.
But I still hold the line on that. Right after these and I'm not going to change. And you shouldn't either. I'm going to talk a little more about this when I come back. That's what a paleoconservative is.
J. Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. I was talking with you in the last segment about the watered-down compromise in itself, don't ask, don't tell policy being repealed. We're talking to you a little bit about the Associated Press video article that we have posted for you at thepoliticalcesspool.org that has a bunch of homosexual soldiers celebrating this victory against intolerance. Well, you know, there are some things that you should be intolerant about. There should be no tolerance for the violation of God's law. There should be no tolerance for some things. That doesn't mean you hate people. See, and that's another thing. I mean, you know, you can never have a conversation about these things without people immediately shouting you down as a bigot or a hater or some other adjective that is solely designed to shut you up and put you on the defensive. You know, I don't mind, I guess it's obvious after all these years, I don't mind being called inappropriate names, names that certainly I wouldn't call myself and names that I don't believe apply to me. But you go on TV and you have a discussion about this and you say, listen, no, you should be intolerant towards homosexuality. It's something very wrong with it. It's unhealthy. It's unnatural. And then you go into your talking points. Well, they're going to say, oh, well, you're just a hater. You're a bigot. You're intolerant. Well, you know, look, I don't hate anybody. I don't hate homosexuals, but I think that they should seek help. It's certainly not something that they should celebrate. You know, they shouldn't celebrate having a perversion or a biological abnormality. That's not something you should celebrate. It's something you should work to fix. I don't know how many, you know, psychiatrists they could see these days that wouldn't tote the politically correct line on homosexuality. But, you know, they should find a real doctor that can help them with that because, you know, that's a shame. It's shameful. I don't hate them, but I wish that they would do something about it. But in celebration of this blow against traditional Christian morals, a soldier, quote unquote, decided to call his dad in Alabama so that he could inform him that he was a homosexual. Now, this is just in the minutes after Don't Ask, Don't Tell got repealed. He had to celebrate that. He had kept it bottled up. It's a 20-something-year-old, you know, white Southerner, no less. He's a soldier. And he called his dad to inform him that he was a homosexual. Now, much more than that, he put it on YouTube for all to see. What's interesting is that, and we put this video up on our website too, and you know, some good, you've put some good comments, you know, very lively discussion there. And that's another great thing about our website, as I so often say, you know, the comments that the fans of this show leave beneath each article are just as much of an attraction as the article themselves. And I would encourage you to go find an article that you're enthusiastic about at thepoliticalcesspool.org and leave your own comments because, you know, it's certainly helps build a great exchange amongst other readers when you contribute like that. But if you watch this video, and like I said, you can watch it for yourself at our website tonight, thepoliticalcesspool.org. This homosexual soldier, he's waiting for his dad to answer the phone. He's like, his dad answers, and then he says, you know, I really didn't want to tell you this over the phone. I guess he wanted to tell his dad in person that he was a homosexual, but he didn't want to do it over the phone. But not only did he go ahead and do it over the phone, he filmed it, he put it on YouTube, and then he released it to the media. And of course, the media loves the fact that, you know, you can tell his dad, you know, isn't, you know, you would just know that his dad, being a white Southerner, isn't going to be for this. So they love being able to drive that dagger into his dad's heart. So The Daily Show has aired this, as have various other media outlets. And of course, they're doing it. Oh, how great this soldier is coming out to his dad. You know, we need everybody to do that. This guy has become a darling of the media. But again, it would also seem that such a conversation with your father would warrant more than just a 3-minute chat. But I guess after he got what he needed for the camera, it was time to wrap it up. Very despicable behavior. And if people would ask, well, you know, why did you put it up on the website? We've got to face this stuff head on, whether it's, you know, whatever the issues. We cover all of the issues. This is the political cesspool, okay? This isn't your local community paper where we're talking about grandma going to the community center and working on ceramics, and we have a full-length feature article about that. We get down into, you know, we get down into the muck, what's really plaguing our society, what's really tearing us apart. It's the dirty stuff, you know, this kind of stuff, the stuff that makes you feel unclean and unpleasant. This is the stuff we got to face. We got to know what it looks like. We got to be able to combat it in the court of public opinion. You know, we got to stay razor sharp. Because it's everywhere. You know, Dancing with the Stars, Dancing with the Perverts, as it is this year. You know, Chaz Bono's on it. And if you don't know who that is, basically, Sonny and Cher, when they were still together, they had a little girl, and they named her Chastity Bono. Well, later in life, Chastity decided to become a lesbian. And when that wasn't enough for her, Chastity decided to pretend to be a man by having a sex change operation and taking a bunch of hormones and changing her name to Chaz. Now, naturally, the media is holding her up as some sort of a modern-day hero, even though they refer to her now as a he because she's pretending to be a man. And anyway, Chastity or Chaz Bono has become such a darling that it has landed a coveted spot in this season's lineup of the hit television show Dancing with the Stars. Now, as you've probably already guessed, since Chaz is pretending to be a man, despite being born a female, the Dancing with the Stars executives are pairing her up with a female. And I will refer to her as a her because she was born a female, okay? If you take hormones and you grow a beard and you dress like a man and talk like a man and get your womanly parts sewed up, you're still not a man. So I will refer to Chastity Chaz Bono as her, even though the media refers to her now as a he. Anyway, as you probably already guessed, since she's pretending to be a man, she is paired now with a female dance partner. Now, show rules have always dictated that one would be paired with a member of the opposite sex. Now, this is the kind of stuff, diversity, political correctness, whatever you want to call it, it sure can be confusing. Now, Chaz breaks it down and explains to us in a video, again, that's on our website, that gender is between your ears, not between your legs. You know, first of all, cultural Marxism taught us that we weren't supposed to notice differences in races. We weren't supposed to notice racial differences. Now we're not supposed to notice gender differences. In fact, just as they lie to us and say that race doesn't exist, now it's becoming a very big talking point on very big shows. You know, Dancing with the Stars, one of the biggest shows on television. Now gender doesn't exist because gender isn't between your legs, it's between your ears, they say. I suppose that means that if you pretend to be a man, then you really are one. Biological anatomy be darned. Now, I'm all for freedom across the board. I truly am. As long as no laws are being violated, do what you do. But this sort of behavior should not be celebrated and held up as a model for young children. At the very least, Chastity / Chaz Bono needs some very serious mental help, as I said earlier, from a mental health professional who hasn't bought into this new age, you are what you feel, psychobabble. You know, that's where Chastity Bono needs to be rather than being trotted out to perform on television as a man. It's been a very big week for the perverts and homosexuals. And it is a perversion, so I don't think it's being unkind to call them perverts. Don't Ask, Don't Tell gets repealed. Then we had to endure Chaz Bono's coming out party on Dancing with the Stars. I wonder if I pretend to be black, if they'll start sending me a government check each month. If race doesn't exist, then I'm black, and you can start sending me welfare and food stamps. How's that sound? How's that sound? How far would I get if I tried something like that? Of course, I never would, but I'm just saying. It would be no more ridiculous of me to try that than they tried this. Well, we normally don't spend so much time talking about sodomy on the show, but, you know, again, it's another problem in society. We got to deal with it, and if we got to deal with it, we got to talk about it, and we will talk about it here on the Political Cesspool. I want to remind people quickly, we're coming up to the end of this hour. Still got one more hour forthcoming tonight, and I've got a lot more to bring to you. We're going to shift gears in the third hour, and we're going to get to all of it. So stay tuned. Much more to come. And I want to quickly remind everyone that we have updated our broadcast archives. You'll want to go to our website to get the new link. I've got a lot of emails over the course of the last month. People can't seem to figure out the new broadcast archives. Well, it's very simple. In fact, the reason we changed it was to simplify the whole process. All you got to do, you can still catch our most recent show for free. If you don't tune in live each Saturday night, I know a lot of people catch our show, our weekly show, in the broadcast archives throughout the week because of their work schedules or whatever. Listen, you can still get it for free. All you do, you go to our broadcast archive page at thepoliticalcesspool.org, then simply select the hour of your choice by clicking the link positioned to the right of the headphone icon. You'll see a headphone icon there. The show's broken down hour by hour. You click the link to the right of the headphone icon. If your browser, there are some variables with browsers, so if it's not a headphone icon, it might be a music note. Anyway, just click the link, and then that hour will begin streaming for you. We did not take away the broadcast archives. They're still there. You can get tonight's show, for instance, will be available all the way through next week when we fire it up again for the latest installment. So it's all still there. ThePoliticalCesspool.org. I got to take a break. I'll be back with you for the third and final hour right after these words from our sponsors.